guess this is the point where the preacher makes some comment about who's going to be on time for the rapture and who's not. And the people who are going to show up later, they won't even know that I said it. So, praise God. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together. Pray for those who aren't here yet. Said the guy who had a history of being late for everything. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Lord God, we love you because you are gracious. You are merciful. You are long-suffering. We love you because you first loved us. We ask, oh God, for your blessing and anointing upon what we do here tonight. And we pray especially for those that are struggling physically and emotionally, spiritually tonight, that the word of God will bring healing to every heart and every mind. We pray for your anointing upon Pastor Jessica and upon all of our sound and overhead and musicians, all the people who are ministering to us. We ask for your blessing. Have your way, O God, in this service in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We want to welcome all of our guests. If you are a guest of ours, we want you to feel at home here, and we hope that you will consider making this your home. If you would, we would encourage you to just take a few minutes to touch base with one of the people at the kiosk out in the vestibule or one of the ushers. Just share a few points of information. We have a small gift for you. If you're with us online, we encourage you to go to the Bitly link, the Connect to CGC Bitly link, and if you share with us just a few points of information, we want to show you our appreciation for your joining us. You can give tonight in the offering in the box in the kiosk. You can mail in your offering. You can go to our website and follow the instructions there. And you can go to our Church Center app, and follow the instructions there to give. This Sunday, June 11th, Men's Ministry will have a service and a grill out at Marvin Renvick's house. Bring a chair, bring some meat to grill for yourself, and bring a guest. Next Wednesday, June 14th, missionary service. Matthew Yater, a missionary to Israel, will be ministering to us a week from tonight. And then we have Pastor Jerry somewhere in the vicinity. He's going to come, and he has a Father's Day promo. Media Tech, play the video. We hope.
Before we unveil our National Men's Ministry Engage offering video, I'd like to show you some of the awesome things that are happening here in the state of Wisconsin because of your tremendous support. We have provided $10,000 grants to two deserving churches, New Life Worship Center in River Falls and Gospel Lighthouse in Milwaukee. These funds will play a crucial role in constructing new facilities in River Falls and restoring the damage caused by a drunk driver in Milwaukee. Engage Offering has also made a significant impact by providing men's ministry startup kits to every new North American Mission Church in Wisconsin and equipping existing churches with the empowering message of the Foolproof Man curriculum. Furthermore, our fund supports the Winter Men's Conference, the Summer Men's Camp, and 10 additional section events throughout the state, fostering fellowship and growth among our men. I invite you to join us this Father's Day as we continue to empower Wisconsin men and strengthen our community of men. Together, we can make an extraordinary difference. Our men are vital and valuable in the kingdom of God. We ask every church and every man to engage with us. Our 2023 goal is $80,000. And now for our national promo video.
Engage. Calling apostolic men to put their hands in the harvest, both locally and nationally, through their time, talent, and treasure. Engage to make a lasting impact through various partnerships such as North American Missions, Global Missions, Children's Ministries, and many other avenues through which men can bring their gifts to the kingdom table. Engage, the UPCI Men's Ministries Father's Day offering, which provides funds to underwrite operational expenses at Home International Orphanage in Guatemala. Your giving provided a new truck for Lighthouse Ranch for Boys in Louisiana. A group of men from Nashville traveled to Oneida to finish a church building for Pastor Virgil Gibson, giving them a $1 million worship center in the poorest city in the state of Tennessee. In addition to these amazing projects, there are new wells in West Africa and Kenya, providing clean water through the ministry of Seed Springs. And when tragedy strikes, your giving provides funds to reach out America for families and communities in need. The 2023 Father's Day offering provides resources for your district's men's conferences, as well as man-to-man evangelism in your church through the Dominion Bible Study for Men, available in book and video format. Each video is available free for download at our website and YouTube channel. We invite you to bless the ministry that blesses our men and make a lasting difference in the kingdom of God. Join our continuing efforts to build better men and grow greater churches. Learn more today at upcimen.com.
Hello, everybody. I'm here to tell you a little bit about our Father's Day offering. I can't really say much more than we got packed in that little three-minute video. As you know, our men's ministry is very active here at Calvary Gospel Church, and we've empowered many men to get up and actually do public speaking. And we've scheduled probably 30 or 40 men to speak in the last, or 30 or 40 individual speaking sessions, different men over the course of the last couple of years, empowering them. And we just have a really awesome men's ministry. I'm trying to have one of the best men's ministries in the state, and have the state's men's ministry to be one of the best men's ministries in the world. I really do feel like that's an achievable goal for us. The only problem is we don't raise good funds. CGC has good funds here in our personal accounts, but as far as in a district, we don't really have a great push, because the problem is that the other offerings are very, very successful. Mother's Memorial, Christmas for Christ, Save Our Children, missing one, Move the Mission. Yes, and so those are all, we support those very well, and those are all great offerings. So what men's ministry has done is we've refocused what an offering is for our specific department, and now we are really just looking at what we can do here at home. And so we spend money on disaster relief. We spend money on churches that need revitalization. $20,000 has gone into two churches here in Wisconsin this previous couple months. We've spent money on men's ministry evangelism. I've put curriculum in pretty much every hand of every pastor in the state of Wisconsin, and in North American Missions projects, we've given them complete kits. And also the Bible studies that we have taught here over the course of the last few years, the Dominion Bible Study is now a free curriculum online that any man can just log into and share with groups. And so we've done quite a bit. We just need people to support it with their financial giving, and just appreciate you. We'll be asking for this giving, this offering on Father's Day. And so at this time, we'll go back to Brother Seidel, or are we going into music? Worship. So if you'd stand with us, we'd like to just, we're just going to honor the Lord right now for a few moments, and just lift our hands, lift our voices to Him as we sing with Brittany, and we'll just praise the Lord for a few minutes. Amen.
for a moment, God. We praise you, Jesus. We're here to worship you. We're here to honor you, God, for all you've done and who you are, Jesus.
Holy is the Lord.
and it's Jesus. The Word has a name, and it's Jesus. Redemption has a name, and it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Holiness has a name, and it's Jesus. And victory has a name, and it's Jesus. Redemption has a name, and it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Holiness has a name, and it's Jesus. And victory has a name, and it's Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Welcome to Family Focus Wednesday. This is our sixth one of the year, and I'm glad you're here for it. I'm excited to teach it this evening. John 14:6. We should be very familiar with this by now. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be in your house tonight. We are so thankful that we are not limited to just be in your presence here. But what a privilege it is to come together with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. And tonight, Lord, we pray that your spirit would just be loose in this house. And God, that you would draw each and every one of us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Family focused service. This is when we are coming together each month and being very intentional about what we're teaching. We're learning that the way of Jesus is not always the popular way. And sometimes it can truthfully be very difficult. But it does lead to life more abundant in Jesus. Amen? The way is life. This has been our focus. Today I walked all over this platform. And I put this behind me. And I put this in front of me. And I put it over here. But then when I come to church, it just doesn't want to behave. So, all right, Sister Lindsay, you ready? This series, the goal of this series is to equip men and women to lead their families to a life focused on Jesus by providing resources, examples, and opportunities. Pastor Peter and I have gotten up here and shared everything that we know in our hearts and things that God has shown us, and we've given you some resources, some examples, and some opportunities to go home and do the homework. Has anyone been doing the homework? Has anyone found it helpful? You see, tools are only helpful when we use them. So we can get up here week after week and we can give them to you, but it isn't until you reach into that little tool bag and you say, I'm going to use this because I want to go closer to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Quarter one was priorities and boundaries. In January, we learned about taking ownership, that we are responsible for the growth of our family and ourselves. In February, we talked about eliminating hurry and distraction, that we can slow down and be more present. In March, we learned about focusing our family, family focus. We can choose what we focus on together. Spiritual disciplines has been the focus of this second quarter, and in April we talked about prayer, that we can be intentional, present, and honest to connect with God. He already knows. We just have to come before him. In May, we talked about Bible reading, that we can read, understand, and apply God's word. The Bible says to us that we are not to be hearers only, but also doers. Doers. And we can only be doers through the power of the Holy Spirit, because that is what helps us to understand. And as we pray, we ask him, how do we now apply? Amen? All right, and now here we are in June, and we get to talk about fasting. Oh, and separation. And we're going to learn that we can remove distractions from our lives. We may not want to, but we can. We can do that. John 10, 9 through 10. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. The gate is narrow and difficult is the way, but the way of life is Jesus. Amen? Fasting is not just a physical discipline, even though it is a physical discipline. There have been a lot of studies about the benefits of fasting. Anyone heard of intermittent fasting? It's a pretty big, we got a big fan in the back. It's a pretty big health craze right now. If you don't know what it is, apparently there's a lot of options. You can choose like the 5-2, you can choose 6-2. Yeah, I'm not going to try to do the math. You eat in a 6-hour window or you eat in an 8-hour window, and you basically say no to food longer periods of time, and it's supposed to help you trim the waistline. I should probably try it again. I did try it once. But it also brings about some benefits that they're finding to our health. Imagine that. God designed fasting, and it gives us a physical benefit. But fasting should not be done for the physical discipline as much as it should be a spiritual feast, which doesn't seem right when you say, okay, wait, fasting, I'm not supposed to eat, but this is going to be a feast. Yes, it's going to be a feast for your soul. It's going to be a struggle for your flesh. It's going to be difficult, but it's a feast for your soul. When the Spirit of God leads us into a fast, it has way more to do with just health benefits. He's looking to transform us from the inside out. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This verse is not a stranger to us here at Calvary Gospel Church. But a lot of times when we focus on this verse, we focus on pray and seek, which absolutely we should be doing. But we don't always look at the turn from their wicked ways portion because we don't consider ourselves wicked. Maybe I'm alone in this, but this is what jumped out at me when I was studying. And I was like, wicked ways. Okay, Lord, I'm trying to be made whole by you. I'm trying to pursue righteous and holy living. I don't really consider myself to be wicked, so I'm going to pray and I'm going to seek your face. But really, I think what we have to learn to do is turn away from the ways of the world. Because the way of the world is about self-righteousness. It's about self-centeredness, really. What do I want? What do I feel like? I don't feel that. I can't do that. I want this. I don't want that. It's very self-centered. So what we have to do is we have to pray and we have to seek his face and we have to make some changes. We don't like that part because that's hard. But he loves me just the way I am. He loves you the way you are, but not enough to leave you that way. And he wants to change us. So this next scripture here, I love the way that the Message paraphrases the verse in Matthew. It says, self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way. My way, referring to Jesus' way, to finding yourself, your true self. What kind of a deal is it to get everything you want but to lose yourself? What could you ever trade your soul for? Self-sacrifice or self-denial is the way to finding your true self. Now, we're not talking about self-denial as it was centuries ago where people just literally physically beat their bodies down. We're talking about saying no to the flesh. A couple weeks ago, we talked about that we are three parts, right? What are they? Body, soul, and spirit. But don't forget, we're spirit first. We're spirit first. It's not just about the physical. So you say, why? Why are fasting and prayer such vital spiritual disciplines? And they go hand in hand. A lot of times we separate them out. But prayer and fasting together in the Word. There's scriptures that tell us that there are spiritual struggles and things that cannot come out except but by prayer and fasting. So why? Because they teach us to deny ourselves. They teach us to die to ourselves and then to align ourselves with the Lord and His will. Remember, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Here at Calvary Gospel Church, it is our desire and it is our passion that each and every single one of you find the way, find the truth, find the life in Jesus. We can't give it to you. We can show it to you. And that's exactly what this whole series is about. But you have to make some choices. Which brings us to tonight, which is fasting. I don't like fasting. I'm just going to be real honest. I have struggled with fasting. Go figure. I thought it was interesting when I looked it up in the Mayo Clinic about intermittent fasting. Side effects include headaches, nausea, tiredness. There's something else. I don't remember what it was. I didn't write it down. Hunger. Hunger pains, yes. But you know what they said? They'll go away in a month. What does that mean? What does that tell me? That means we're stronger than we think we are, but we cater way too much to what we want. Now, when I'm fasting, I want more than anything to go find the chocolate in the house. I'm a sweets person. It gets me every time. Early on when I tried to fast, I found it to be very, very challenging because I would get headaches and I would get hungry and I would get cranky. And I convinced myself that I couldn't fast. And so I didn't fast for a long time. I convinced myself that because I got the headaches and because I felt the grogginess and because I really struggled, that I just couldn't do it and the Lord was going to let me off the hook. Don't ask me how I reconciled that, but somehow I did. And thank you, Jesus, I found a better way. My husband and I, a few years ago, many years ago, we probably should do it again, did a detox. And you know what I found out? I like sugar way too much. In fact, I liked it so much that when I decided to pull off of it intentionally for 30 days, I got so sick. Like, I'm talking flu-like sickness. And they give us a coach who, like, works alongside of us to help us. And I was trying to figure out why on earth I was getting all of these migraine headaches. And so it was all designed, and there was this big plan, and we were working through all of it. And I texted my coach. I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do this. She's like, yes, you can. Go eat an apple. You got this. You know, like, she would just say, little things. Go do this. No, I can't do this. I am so sick. My husband didn't get sick. He doesn't eat sugar like I eat sugar. So you see, what I thought was a struggle due to maybe some sort of a health thing was just a balance issue for me that fasting probably would have fixed a little bit sooner. So there are things that fasting does for us in the spiritual, also does in the physical. But tonight, when we talk about fasting, I think it's important for us to understand what I'm trying to share because all of us have lots of ideas about fasting. And tonight, when I talk about fasting, I'm talking about a spiritual fast, which is a fast where we abstain from food or select types of food, like a Daniel fast, in order to draw closer to the Lord. If we look at the Hebrew word at the root, sum is the Hebrew word, and the word means to cover over the mouth, to fast at all, fast. And in the verb form, to abstain from food. Now, I know that there are a lot of popular fasts out there, 30 days fasting of social media, 30 days fasting from your phone, 30 days, you know, there's all these books and things that you can find. While I do think it's important for us to step away from the noise, tonight when we talk about fasting, we're not talking about those kinds of fasts. We're talking about saying no to food and physical nourishment so that we can say yes to God. We're talking about the biblical fast. But I will say that if the Lord is talking to you and he's encouraging you to remove some things from your life, do it. Do it. That little nudge, pay attention to it. Because what he's saying is, hey, Clayton, I want some more time with you. Can you put that game down? He's saying, Nolan, you don't have to work quite that hard. Come away with me. He's trying to get our attention, but we're chasing after everything else. So if he's talking to you, listen, obey what the Spirit says. But for tonight, we're talking about fasting from food. I love this quote from Dallas Willard that says, fasting confirms our utter dependence upon God by finding in him a source of sustenance beyond food. When we fast, our focus should be on God. I found it very interesting in putting this together and thinking about this that I couldn't really find a scripture that commanded us to fast. And when I read scriptures like this one in front of us, it says, when you fast. It's as if Jesus just assumed that you and I would fast, that we would do it, that it would be a part of our spiritual disciplines. Because here it's saying, when you fast, put oil on your head as you normally would to groom your hair. Wash your hair, do your hair. Wash your face so your fasting will not be noticed by people, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And then in our next scripture it says, and whenever, again it's assumed, whenever you are fasting, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they put on a sad and dismal face like the actors, discoloring their face with ashes and dirt, so that their fasting may be seen of men because they're so righteous and holy. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, they already have their reward in full. If you want to go around and tell everyone that you're fasting, that's your reward, your recognition. But the purpose of fasting, again, is to focus on God. Not for you to focus on me and see how spiritual I am, but to focus on God. And we have to be careful not to ever lose that and let it become a public display. We must fast. We must fast to do away with things that are hindering us from deepening our relationship with God. We must fast to come closer to him. We must fast to find freedom and peace in him, and most of all, to receive his heart for other people. Because again, his way is not the path of self-centeredness, but self-denial. He wants us to do the difficult work, but the most amazing thing is he doesn't leave us alone. We have to choose him, though, because he won't just do the work. It would be wonderful if he would just do it, but that's not how it works. It's not how it works. 2 Corinthians 6:16 through 18 says, and what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch any unclean thing, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. You see, Jesus is calling us to his way, and that means drawing lines of separation. Let's say, in order for me to follow you, I have to say no to some things here. I'm not going to stand up here tonight and tell you what those things are. Your responsibility is to go to the Lord and to say, Lord, show me. Show me what's hindering me. But see, the problem is that if we're always catering to our flesh, and I am so guilty of this, I really, really would like to have a Culver's cheeseburger and some cheese curds. So guess where I go for lunch yesterday? I go to Culver's and I get myself my cheeseburger. But then they changed to Diet Coke and they ruined the drinking experience for me. So, and then I'm in my office and I'm working and I'm thinking, boy, these numbers are starting to get a little bit blurry. I need a little pick-me-up. So I go to my snack drawer and I find myself a Reese's peanut butter cup. And I have that and I get a glass of water. I get home and I'm like, whoo, what a day. I have the munchies and I'm after. And I'm like, man, you go to food a lot. I find that out when I fast, how much I do that without even thinking because of the cravings of my flesh. But see, God is asking us to set that aside, to choose the difficult thing. He's asking us to set other things aside. There's lots of weights and things that can hold us down from becoming who God wants us to be. And that's why we are talking about spiritual disciplines. That's why we're talking about the importance of daily communion with Jesus in prayer. That's why we're talking about daily consumption of the word, not just when you come to church, but daily. And then now we want to talk about fasting on a regular basis. I saw a bumper sticker in it. This popped in my head, and I thought, oh, we're going to use the phrase normalize fasting. The bumper sticker said, normalize hitting the curb. And I was like, oh, that's my person. I hit the curb a lot with my truck. A lot less now, but normalize fasting. What if we normalized fasting in our lives and in our homes? What would begin to happen if we said no more often so that we could say yes more often? What would happen? This next quote really spoke to me about all the benefits of fasting. Fasting cleanses the soul, raises the mind, subjects one flesh to the spirit. It renders the heart contrite and humble. It renders the heart repentant and humble, is what he's saying here. It scatters the clouds of concupiscence. Brother Seidel, can you help me out with that? Did I get it right? I got it right. Woo-hoo. Quenches the fire of the lust and kindles the true light of chastity. Renders the heart repentant and humble. It changes what we're desiring. It shuts self down so that we can be what God has asked us to be. I want to pause here in this moment. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to just spend a minute in reflection with the Lord. And ask him tonight specifically for you, not for your family, but for you. Whether you are 5 years old, 15 years old, 50 years old, or 75 years old. Lord, what is it that you want me to set aside so that I can have more of you? Sometimes it's awkward to sit in the silence because then we have to face the voice that's been calling to us, but we haven't been listening to. But really, as we focus on God, he shows us and reveals to us the better way. And that's what we are after, the better way. So tonight, some of you, most of you, this is a review. This is nothing earth-shattering or new, but I really felt like the Lord wanted me to put this out and make it really plain and really simple. How to do a biblical fast. The first biblical fast is a partial fast. How many of you have participated in the 21-day Daniel fast? We did it many, many years here, kicking off our January. In this time, basically, you set aside, depending on how you do it, you walk away from certain delicacies like Daniel did for 3 weeks in the Bible. And basically, I think it's pretty much like mostly veggies, if I remember correctly. The problem I found with the Daniel fast is that it was no longer effective because I was so busy finding the greatest recipes. What would qualify in the Daniel fast? And my focus shifted from you, Lord, to back to me again, because I found a mean recipe for sweet potato noodles with cashew sauce and spinach that satisfied my flesh. And I was like, oh, yeah, you so missed the fast. And I'll be honest with you, I participated in a few Daniel's fasts and I got absolutely nothing out of it because I focused on the wrong thing. So be careful as you're choosing a fast, what your focus is on. We can become really legalistic about our fast and completely miss the entire purpose of our fast. So be careful. So the first option is a partial fast, and the second option is a complete fast. This used to scare me to no end, but now it's not so bad. I failed a few times, but I got back at it and found out I could go longer and longer. A complete fast means that most of the time you're only drinking water, sometimes juice if people do it for an extended period of time. But again, make sure that whatever you're doing in this fast, that the intent of it is to draw closer to Jesus. Deny yourself and draw closer to him. What if I fail? It takes time to build your spiritual fasting muscles. You are not perfect. I am not perfect. We will make mistakes, but the purpose of it is not perfection, but drawing closer to Jesus. And he will see your faithfulness. He will honor you as you try. Don't let the enemy do what the enemy did to me so many years ago and say, you can't do it. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He's stronger than a cheeseburger, y'all. He is the strength that we don't possess. And that's the whole point of this, is to remind us that he's greater than everything here in the physical and the flesh. And so tonight's challenge, we don't have a little breakout session. I mean, we could fast for the next 15 minutes together, but we can't really do that tonight as we've done in the past. But tonight's challenge is for you as an individual, or as a couple, as a family. Every person gets to participate in this. And our challenge is to prepare for fasting, to normalize fasting together here at CGC. That's what we want to do. Abstaining from food commonly for 24 hours, sunrise to sunrise, or sunset to sunset. I typically do sunset to sunset. If you have never fasted before, fast for one meal. Give yourself some time to build that fasting muscle. If you've fasted for a day, pray and ask the Lord about maybe going for 3 days. If you've done 3 days, some of you are really strong. Your spiritual fasting muscles are like Kirby. You are strong. And some of us are not there. Do not compare yourself to what someone else is doing. Do what you feel God is calling you to do as an individual. But do the challenging work and say no to the flesh so you can say yes to God. So as you prepare, the first thing that you need to do is determine the length of your fast. Is it one meal? Is it half a day? Is it a whole day? What is it? You determine the length and then determine how often. How often? You don't have to wait for us to say, we're going on a fast. You can go on a fast anytime. Now, don't go on a fast if you don't want the breakthrough that comes with it. Don't go on a fast if you're not interested in stepping forward in what God is asking you to do. But if you are interested in that breakthrough moment and you feel like, you know what, I'm trying, I'm praying, I'm seeking, I'm looking, things aren't changing, things aren't happening, maybe it's time to up your fast. So consider a weekly fast, or biweekly, maybe monthly or even quarterly. Everybody can participate in some way. Resolve that you're going to do this. Headaches might come. There will be hunger pains. You might get a little nauseous. But water is your friend in these fasts. Resolve that you're going to do it and pray about it and then write it down. Make the plan to do it. Because I'm here to tell you, as soon as you decide you're going to fast, donuts will show up at work. You'll be invited out to eat. You're committed that I'm not going to eat meat for 7 days, and guess who wants to barbecue steaks? It's going to happen. There's never a convenient time to fast. Let's just get that out in the open. It just doesn't exist. But resolve with the Lord that you're going to do this and commit to doing it and let him help you to do it. And don't let the enemy steal from you the victory that comes when you do this. If you're married, ask your spouse to cover you. Now, I know we read the scriptures about not fasting in public, but sometimes when we go and say we're going to fast, there are some things that are going to come that are going to try to hinder us and try to block us and try to stop us. And that's where we need to link arms first with our spouse. And if you don't have a spouse, a prayer partner. If you don't have a prayer partner, I would highly encourage you to get a prayer partner, a brother or sister who can lock arms with you when you're struggling and they can help carry you. We're in this together. None of us is doing this alone, and none of us is doing this out of our own strength. It is all through his strength. So resolve that you're going to do this and ask for help in prayer, not ask for help because you're such a great person and you're going on a 40-day fast. Do it for the right reasons with the right focus. And the Lord will bless you for it. Earlier this year, we had a fast. And I remember going into it like, okay, I'm going to do this. But I don't ever feel explosive when I come out of a fast, like spiritually explosive. That hasn't happened for me, and maybe that's something that I'm wanting. But when I came out of this extended fast, there was just a silent, deep resolve that helped to turn me, because honestly, I was a little shaky, and I was really struggling at that time and that season. And in the fast, because I got away with Jesus, because I said no to myself, there were things he did deep in my spirit that I'm still uncovering. That's what fasting is all about. It's not about the flesh. It's not about creating all of these experiences that we want. It's not about going on a hunger strike with God and saying, do this or else. That's not what this is about. But just as prayer changes us more than it sometimes changes our situations, fasting changes us and helps us to be on the right way with God. Daily prayer and communion with God are absolutely essential. And fasting is also a crucial discipline in our walk with God. Thankfully, it's not a continuous state like prayer, but it is a specific time to set aside all of our distractions and to consecrate ourselves to God. And so tonight we're ending on a pretty quiet note, intentionally, because I want you to think about this. If you've said fasting is not for me, I'm asking you to reconsider it. If you've said I fasted before and it didn't really work out the way I wanted it to, I'm asking you to reconsider it. If you've tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed, please try one more time. Because if we will pick up and go after these spiritual disciplines that God has given us in his word, there's an army rising up in Calvary Gospel Church. There's an army that needs you. We cannot do this without you. That's the whole purpose of what we're doing, is so that we can move our focus from ourselves and our desires to his desires. So if you'll stand this evening and the musicians will come, we are going to close out in a worship song. But I do want to encourage you to spend some time with your family or your prayer partner and talk about this a little bit. Talk about why you have or have not fasted. And talk about what your plan is now. His mercies are new every morning, and it's a new day. It's a new opportunity. Yesterday's gone. We can't do anything about it, but we can walk forward in the newness of life that he offers us. He offers us a better way. It's not always easier, but it's a better way. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help each one of us here tonight to choose to practice and to exercise and retrain ourselves in your ways. I know that over time and with your love and the equipping power of your Spirit, that you will help each one of us conquer every part of our lives, that you would help us to learn to die to ourselves so that we can become what you desire us to be for your kingdom. Lord, that you would help each one of us to choose your way, that you would help us not to make this about ourselves and our comfort, that it wouldn't be a self-centered thing that we do, but God, that we would learn to love you with everything that we have, and that we would learn to love others, that you would help us to practice these spiritual disciplines that we've learned about, and sometimes we know about them, but we forget about them. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to learn to move in the right direction. I pray that each and every one of us here would learn to focus on you, to focus on you in everything that we do. It isn't about being the best or the brightest. It's about being used of you, God. It's about being sensitive to your Spirit. And God, we need your Spirit. We need you to equip us, to motivate us towards better, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help each person here under the sound of my voice to know that you are an ever-present help, to know that you have come and you have given us life, that you have come and you have paid the penalty for our sins. You have come to equip us for this life here on earth and for eternity with you. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would be exactly what each person needs from you. And God, if it's a conviction, I pray that you would help them to follow it through. If it's a motivation, I pray that you would be the wings that they cannot find. But most of all, I pray that everyone would come to know you greater and in a deeper way that you desire to know each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord, church. Thank you so very much, Sister Jessica. I think it's a great message, a great lesson. I think the quote of the night is, God is stronger than your cheeseburger, y'all. It's a good quote. I wrote that down. It's worth repeating to yourself as you're on a fast and you drive by Culver's drive-thru. So thank you so very much, Sister Jess. This weekend, I'll be speaking on Sunday morning, and we're going to get back into our lesson. I am going to finish this summer on talking about mental health issues. We're kind of slowly progressing and getting more into the side of it to where what you can do to take, to recognize and help. And we're going to end up with habits, good biblical habits that we can form that will help us on a daily walk. But we're going to talk about shame on Sunday morning. Shame. That's something that the enemy likes to throw at us a lot. And we're going to kind of unwrap that a little bit. But God bless you. And congratulations to Spencer and Natasha Hicks. They had a little baby. And I don't have any details. I just know they had a baby. And Grandma and Grandpa Hicks are here somewhere. And maybe you can catch. Maybe you know more than I do. But continue praying for them. And also continue to pray for Brother Ron Wittenbach and Sister Jane and their family. And the loss of Sister Sue. So God bless you. Thank you so much to our worship team tonight, to Sister Jess. We will see you back here on Sunday.